I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
the top that unmute it. You couldn't hear it.
No, we're not muted.
Unless we have difficulties.
And I just realized that my mic is muted and has been muted, so I'm not sure how long that has been happening. Hello there, folks. Let's try again. This is Cindy Freeman on Purpose Talk Radio, and we are on the air live. I don't know what happened and where our show had been, but I think I'm going to start all over just to, for those who may not have been able to get to us. Today is April 14th, 2014, and I am Cindy Freeman, your host. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. This is the show about living unto your purpose and being a part of life as you're meant to be serving it. Today's show, our guests will be the mother and daughter team of Charlotte and Natalie Phillips, and they are doing some things in a little bit more of the creative arts with photography and jewelry and graphic arts, graphic design, things like that. So please we'll welcome them in a few minutes. The song that you heard, the theme song that was on the air, is called I Am Who I Am. It is by the group True Trinity. TrueTrinity.com. That is Jillian Clark, Rachel Martinez, and myself. We formed that group about 4 years ago, and it's been an interesting journey writing music, and we don't seem to be able to get to do it as much as we'd like with all the time that we'd like. And that's unfortunate, but that's okay. It is what it is. You can find out more about our guests and upcoming shows, listen to some of the archives by going to PurposeTalkRadio.com. Also, if you know anyone who would like to be a guest on our show, or if you yourself would like to be a guest, please get a hold of us at that website or leaving me a message at Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com. I'm sorry, let's try that again. The email address is Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com. You know, we have a couple of upcoming guests. We were going to have Jillian Clark next week on the 21st, but it does not look like she's going to be able to make it. She's preparing for a 10th anniversary event for her organization, Chicks for a Cause, which helps people who are fighting cancer. And it is just, she's doing a lot of work with that this year. And so we may be rescheduling her to another time to talk about her organization. After that, we have Patricia Clayson, who has an organization and an event that she calls Taking It Lightly, and it helps people who are dealing with stress in their life. How can they de-stress? How can they find better ways of living their life? And what do they need to do to do that? All of us go through stressful times and emotional times, and we need to find our way to be able to live our purpose and to know what is going on in the world. After that, who do we have coming up here? We have Michael Dale, who has a book out there that he is writing. He also works with awakening to a tangible sense of soul, figuring out what you really want for real. Yeah, we don't want any fake systems and fake living our purpose, do we? And then we have Michelle Castro coming up, and I'll let that go because beyond a month, we do have guests scheduled into July, like I said, except for next week. If someone would like to come on the air next week, we'd be more than happy to have you on there, and that would be wonderful. So feel free. So what I am going to do is we're going to try again here to bring in Charlotte and Natalie on the line. Hello, are you there?
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing great. No, I don't know why things went mute. I have absolutely no idea. I was talking to you, I was talking to the world out there, and all of a sudden, it didn't show on my studio line that I was muted, but went into the Skype, and it said it was, which is strange, so they should both show it if it's muted. So I apologize there. I'd be called back in.
We're glad it got worked out.
The joys of systems. So how is what I was saying when it was quiet is that this weekend I went to a conference for the National Federation of the Blind, and it was gorgeous on Friday. We walked about a mile and a quarter to dinner and back again and got a few pictures of the Black River while I was out there, and it was just a really nice day. Coming back, I had to throw my sweatshirt back on, but it was still beautiful for all that. And then Saturday, Sunday, it was raining. It's just the upper 30s. Somebody forgot to turn spring on up here in Wisconsin, but I don't know. How is it by you guys?
It's gorgeous. We had our first real good spring weekend, and the weather's really warm. Rainy today, but, I mean, we're ready for it. It was a brutal winter, so spring is right here.
And where are you located?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay. You're a little bit farther south. And
We're only like 5 hours from the coast, which is great for us. So
okay.
Really hot
nice.
Summer, but pretty good spring.
Great, great. Well, I'm glad that you guys get the nice things. Do you pretty much have like foliage year-round, or are you in an area that freezes over? And
Yes, we get a lot of like ice and stuff. This winter we had that really bad ice storm where the entire city of Birmingham was shut down on a standstill and people had to abandon their cars. So we can get, you know, some snow in January to February, but not, you know, it's usually just really cold and icy.
We're lucky because it usually lasts one day and then it's gone.
Oh, nice. There you go. Yeah. You know, I keep saying I need my four seasons, but I don't know. There are times, you know, that I wonder why, because the temperature this year has gone, it's been a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Kind of
it really has.
But anyway, well, good. I'm glad you are joining us here today. For anyone who is listening here, if you'd like to talk to Charlotte or Natalie as we go through this interview, I would invite you to do so in a couple of different places. One, we do have the chat room open at blogtalkradio.com/purposetalkradio, where many of you are listening to the show at this time. We also have a group call on Facebook called Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. And as we get started here, there will be a post pinned to the top of the page where you can chat in there also. And if you have any questions along the way, I try to post some things that resonate and with me during the show as time permits. Anybody else is welcome to do that too. And also I invite you, if you're listening to the show archived, please do come over there during the week, because I've asked Charlotte and Natalie to pop in there and see if anybody has anything that they want to share over there during the week too, or have any questions as you listen to the archive. Because we do have several people who come and listen to the archive show, which is really nice. You know, we don't always have a lot live, but we have a couple people actually sitting on phone lines now, which is good. If you wish to ask a question and you're on the phone line or you've called in on Skype, I ask you to press the number 1 when you do have the question, because that's how I know you want to talk to us. Otherwise, I don't know that for sure. And I will presume that you are just listening, because people can just listen through the phone line. So I welcome that as well. Let's see then. We have, now I need to go back to my lovely notes here and find out so that I can actually introduce you folks. Let's see. I connected, again, you know, as a lot of my guests, I've connected with Charlotte on Facebook. Boy, I'm guessing maybe 2 years, 2.5 years ago, probably through Women as Visionaries or On Purpose Networking or Christabel News or some one or the other or maybe more of those, you know, and we've crossed paths a lot of times. And then when Krista came on about a month and a half ago, she reminded me of Charlotte and some of the things that she's doing in her life. And I thought, yeah, of course we've got that. You know, I seem to connect a lot with artists of some kind. And as you'll find out, both Charlotte and Natalie are artists. And as I said in the promo, you know, tend to draw pictures of what they want in their life. So Charlotte says that she's always been a bit of a creative spirit, but didn't fully own or appreciate it until later in her life. And who knows what that means? It could be just about any age, for most of us, you know. But that, you know, and being that creative spirit really does, you know, sometimes give us a label that we don't want to have either. So that's part of, I think, the not wanting to own it. But after taking a local drawing class for about a year, she started teaching herself to paint, and now paints almost every day, and is kind of making up for some lost time in that. She says, I feel very fortunate to be able to do what I love and see where the inspiration takes me. I never know where I will end up. It may start with an idea or two, but then the energy moves me in whatever direction it wants to go. This is what I love about painting. I can do a thing if I'm in my head. I can't do a thing if I'm in my head. My hope is for everyone to find what they are passionate about in their lives. So that's Mom. And then it's interesting that that creativity has passed down to her daughter in a little bit different direction. And Natalie Phillips, her story, she says it's just short and sweet. As of to date, there's a whole lot more pages and chapters to go. And in her own personal book. And that's the other thing I say about people. You know, we all have our own book to write. We all have our chapters. And every time we make a change, it's a different chapter. It's not necessarily a beginning or an ending. It's just a break for the moment until something else takes its place. So Natalie began her career with a degree in interior design. She worked for a couple of local high-end designers. And then the recession hit. And like many people, quickly found herself out of work and still had a dream of working for herself burning inside of her. However, she took a temporary job at Restoration Hardware and after a while knew that her heart was calling her to something bigger. Her wonderfully supportive mother, Charlotte, who we just spoke about, stepped in, encouraged her to work with her interest in photography. She said, and that began her Renaissance phase. Together, Charlotte and Natalie opened an art shop on Etsy, making jewelry. And for those who don't know, that's just Etsy.com. And then each store has its own name and its own products and all that kind of thing. It's kind of I want to call it a social network for artists on some level, and for them to be able to sell their products without necessarily having a website, a formal one, that kind of thing. So you can check out that, and we'll tell you what those stores are in a little while. But then after a while, the two of them kind of started having their own styles. You know, even though they had similar interests, they kind of went their separate ways, and actually now at this point have 4 different stores on Etsy. Charlotte's store is The Art with Heart for her paintings, The Art of the Eye for photography, and Natalie has her store, a Betfront store, for her typographical and graphic arts posters that are based on movies, travel, and literature quotes. I'm so sure you're going to have fun with that. You must do well with the trivia there, Natalie.
Yes.
You know, so that's been nice for both of them to have their own things, and yet they still do both work together. And then, of course, Natalie says, I have had such wonderful fun and success that I took another plunge, opened a second shop, as I just explained to you, to share that love of typography and illustrated prints. So, again, welcome officially to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
We're happy
to be here. We're like twins who talk at the same time.
Hey, that works. That works. If you say the same thing, we're in good shape. If you start saying different things, I'm not sure how that'll work, but we'll see what happens. And, you know, this is a first for me, too. I've not had two people at the same time on an interview, so we'll see how that goes. And they're both from one location on the Skype, so hopefully they can at least nod at each other over there, and we'll see how this goes. You know, I can't mute somebody on one side or the other, so... The first thing that I always ask people, though, is how did you get to know, and you kind of went over it a little bit, but was there a turning point or something specific that brought you to the point of knowing your purpose?
Well, for me, my journey kind of began, this is Charlotte talking, but after raising my children, I started as a social worker and for a year, and then I realized that that was not my calling, and I went into teaching for about 10 years and really enjoyed that, but was led to end up homeschooling my daughter, my youngest one, who's now in college. So after I was no longer, you know, needed for that full-time mother job, I started thinking about finding something for myself, and I took that local class for a year and found my passion to paint. Or draw. I started drawing. And it's kind of interesting because I always have been fascinated with the human spirit and the human face. And when I got my first email address, I signed up as Earth Angels. And I really didn't know why. But after I learned to draw and paint, my first thing that I wanted to do was to paint angels in the human form. Earth angels, because I think that we're kind of in training to learn how to bring, you know, unconditional love down. And so that's really how my passion began. I did a series of 13, and then I moved to painting children as angels and with animals, because I think that children and animals have that innocent connection that I could relate to, because my journey just kind of led me to find what I call my inner child, just kind of that sweet, quiet spot inside that is so innocent that I can connect with others. So that's kind of how my path began. And then I encourage both my children to find their creative spirits, because I think if you do what you love, you know, then you have a life full of eager learning and, you know, connecting with people. So I encourage both my daughters to do it. I'll let Natalie tell about how her journey began. But before she does, I just wanted to say a little shout out to my youngest daughter, who is at Alabama, and she is in film school there, and she's following her passion too. So I'm really proud of both my girls.
My story is very similar but different. I went to regular school and was just like a really, really workaholic my whole life through school and didn't take time to really have fun as much. So in my adult life, I tried to really marry the fun part with work, and I wanted to do something creative and wanted to be confident enough to go out for it. And watching my mom and my younger sister do that really inspired me. So it kind of lit the fire to dive out in this unknown territory and to make the creative life my work life. And ever since doing that, I've just felt so rewarded and happy and never looked back on anything else. So feel really blessed to be able to do what I love to do.
cool. Charlotte, did you incorporate a lot of the arts into the homeschooling then with your daughters?
I did.
Or did you really plan that for later?
I did do that because one of the journeys with the homeschool is that we developed the curriculum together until she got to high school. So a lot of her learning has been hands-on and very creative. Mary Catherine found her creative voice very early with making YouTube videos. Young children have such a wonderful array of things available to do this sort of thing, and she started editing her favorite movies and making little shorts, and so we incorporated that in her learning, and when she got to middle school, she began taking an online class, and she was able to learn a lot through that, too, to develop it. So I encouraged them to find what they really wanted to, how they can connect to people, and within them, deeply within themselves through their art, because I think that that is the gift that keeps giving to you, you know.
Cool. And then, Natalie, were there other subjects that were of interest to you also, or was pretty much the art the stuff that really pulled you in and allowed you to, excel in some of the learning?
Yes, I think art for me, I mean, when I was in school, I'm definitely not a math and science person whatsoever. So for me, it was choir and art class that I did take my freshman year. That was like my first brave thing out of just trying to work so hard to succeed because I had a learning disability. And that really opened me up, and I did show choir, and I always took dance for 12 years. So I always had art around me, and my mom was a very creative teacher, and she worked in the gifted program at a local school, and so she was always creating new games for students and trying to incorporate fun into learning, and that really appealed to me and helped me. So when I got into college, I knew I wanted to do something creative, and I was drawn to interior design because my grandmother had been such a fun decorator of her own house. And thought that that was where my path was calling me, but after doing it for a while and in the recession, it just showed me that maybe there was something else that I was supposed to tap into. I just have this feeling all the time that there's like a life that I'm supposed to live. And the more that I would pray about it and meditate on that, the closer I got to finding, until I just started playing around on my Photoshop and Illustrator and didn't know if I could do this, but I just tried, and I really was proud of the things that I did, and my sister loved it and gave me so much confidence, and so it just sort of blossomed. She put stuff in our dorm room, and her friends liked it, and just really helped to get the ball rolling, and then I knew that I'd found what I was looking for, because it married my love of film and literature and music all into one place where I could do art and incorporate all those things and then connect with other people through those different avenues and loves. And that's what's so exciting for me.
So, Natalie, did you do, were your first illustrations hand-drawn or was it computerized?
They were all computerized. I started with an invitation shop, working with brides, really, because I loved weddings and being able to work one-on-one with clients. And so I started there, and then I really wanted to branch out and take that idea of design into something else where I could just put my own creative spin on it. And so that's why I opened the second shop, the Bella Print Shop, to just be able to do more than just the invitation side, but all computer-based. Now I'm starting to go into a new area and branch out into actual painting, which I've always been nervous because my mom is so good, and I compare myself to so many people. Now I'm learning to let that voice go and just do what I love, and I've been really proud with the pieces that I've been able to make. So I'm slowly curating that collection.
Nice. Yeah, and that's one of the things that, you know, I've discovered even with doing this show is that on one level, everybody has someone they really look up to or that inspires them to do something. And, oh, yeah, that would be great. I'd love to do that. And then when we start doing it, look at it and they go, oh, but I can't be as good as them. You know,
exactly.
So, you know, sometimes we forget, again, that it's our path. It's our individual purpose. And if we had everybody that knew how to, you know, paint the Sistine Chapel or something, there aren't enough Sistine Chapels to paint. You know, we'd have a whole lot of unemployed painters. You know, so it, you know, it's good when we have somebody to look up to and somebody, you know, that inspires us or gives us some examples. But it takes a little bit more than that. You know, so Natalie, I heard you say a little bit about your mom and your grandma. So Charlotte, was there someone, or was there someone more than that, Natalie, that inspired you? Or Charlotte, was there someone who inspired you as well in your work?
Well, for me, we grew up, my sister Mary Catherine and I went to Disney World like 4 times a year. And that was a massive motivation, inspiration, because the whole idea of Walt Disney is to make your dreams reality, to be able to go for the things that you want. Dream big. Don't be afraid. Don't take no for an answer. And he created an entire just world where people could come together for that. So that, I really think, plays into the work that Mary, Kevin, and I do. And even my parents, just to be able to be around that energy all the time and see how what one man from his one mind could create with the help of all these people. And so I think that was probably my first major inspiration that I remember having as a focal point in my life.
And for me, I always admired people, and I've been a huge supporter of other people, and I never thought that I could find my own voice or that I had something to offer. I just thought that my place was to support other people. And one of the things that happened is a very close friend of mine, I taught both her children, Donna Shorey, and I had been on a spiritual journey of going within and finding that small part that we had sort of along the way lost, which I call, again, the child, the inner child. And we just, coming out, once we found that still voice within, we kind of got the message it was time to find what we wanted to do, you know, find our voice. And that's when I did decide to sign up for that class, the local community class. And I took 1 year drawing class, and I was terrified because I don't do well with when people are watching. So I asked the teacher if she thought that I would be able to do it, and she was very nice, and she said yes. And I was very timid, I would say, for anybody that's scared to take a class. You know, find that courage, because there are so many people that will step forward to help you, and that's exactly what happened. I had a lot of people in the class that encouraged me, and I just kept going in there even when I would be trembling. Sometimes I would even get out a ruler to check how the distance of my eyes, because I got so scared. But after a year, I realized that I probably could teach myself to paint a little easier, because that was so so much competition. You know, for me, it just was a little painful to have people watching. So after spending the last 4 years reading every book in the library, I learned to let go. And that's really been the biggest process for me, is to learn how to not judge myself and just to have a gentle time with myself.
Okay, there you go. That the common message again of, you know, and it's not, you know, artists that do that. You know, a lot of people, you know, that are more in the left brain side, the logical side, tend to do that too. But I think it is more with artists for some reason. You know, mm-hmm. they want to be accepted, and there's not a blueprint for an artist.
Exactly.
It's really not. It takes a lot of courage to do art and put it out there, because you have either the people that really are drawn to you and are excited for you for doing that, and they, I mean, I know I'm inspired by other people that go for their dreams. That is just such a huge motivator. But then you also have some people that don't quite take you seriously in the work that you do. So I do think it takes an enormous amount of bravery to take this path and to do it, because I think we all have the creative side. We just don't believe in ourselves. We're our own worst critic, but I know I find so much happiness and joy when I'm creating. It helps me work through different moods that I'm in or whatever I'm going through, you can see what I was going through my art at whatever time period I'm interested in. It's a nice reflector, almost like a little spiritual journey, like a diary to look back and see what I was going through as my art progresses.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that because for me, it is definitely a connection, a diary. I love that she said that because that's what I get. I feel like you do what you love, and then if that attracts people or someone is interested, you can connect to them in a special way, a very intimate way, because it started with an intimate experience. So I would 100% agree with her that it's a fun inward journey that connects you outwardly.
Okay. And I'm going to ask people in the chat room, I don't know if anybody will answer me, I hope you do, if the signal is breaking up on your end or is it just what I'm getting here. So hopefully somebody will let me know that because I'm not getting all of the signal sides, but that does happen lately with Log Talk Radio, so I apologize for that. In fact, they told me when I logged in that there was some kind of error and that I'd have to report it or whatever, and then it seemed to clear itself up, so... okay, so with your art, is there, what is your goal at this point? Either one of you, is there some particular, you know, what would be your dream? What would be, what I put in there, your picture, if you had the ideal of what you could do at this point?
For me, I want to be able to continue and expand in the art that I'm doing. I would love to be published in a magazine. And I also have big dreams to incorporate some of the art that I'm doing in a new series using my dog, who's my inspiration. She's why I named the shop, the Bella Print Shop. And I wanted to do a series with her and these magical adventures. So I would love to do a children's book. And then also another like massive part of my heart wants to be able to work and finish an original script with my sister and film it. That to me would just be like the icing on the cake because I've loved film for so long and I got to be an extra in a small independent film that was shot in Alabama when I was in, I think 12 years old and took a local acting class and that just sort of really pushed me in that direction. But of course, just being in the South, you're told not to really go into those dreams. So I put a lot of things on hold and didn't think I could do it. And now as I'm being brave enough to do my art and my sister, who is so courageous going for her degree in film, we talk all the time about designing and being like the co-owners, being able to write for films and direct, and she's just amazing. And so that's huge on my to-do list in life.
And for me, one of the things, we've both talked about writing children's books, but I also have right now a little contest that I'm doing and to get some good models, you know, children. I love faces. I love drawing children. But I also like connecting with their spirit. And I'm not a portrait artist because I really just want to capture the essence of the child. So I have a little contest that's going on right now, and I love it because I get to connect with families. I've had people that have lost a child and they want a memorial or some sort, or some people might want a little guardian angel. They want to see their child in that form. So it's given me a wonderful opportunity to connect with people intimately, and that's really one of the biggest parts of my desire for artists, to have a connection and to find out what inspires them. You know, I love being able to support. Love, last weekend we were at a art show in Tuscaloosa, and my youngest daughter that we're talking about, Mary Catherine, brought a lot of her friends, and they were so wonderful. They helped us, and many of them are going into the art, different parts of art, and it's so refreshing to see children at young ages, you know, have the passion to follow the dream, because, you know, it does take a certain amount of bravery, because right now there's still a lot of pressure, I think, from young children to succeed or not follow some traditional things, which are wonderful. But sometimes you don't get as much support for jobs that don't come out and you're able to fit in a job. You have to sort of create yourself. So I love being a part of that process.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see. Maybe it would be a movie about children and angels, like the new one that's out there. What is that? Heaven Can Wait or whatever the new one is now?
Yes.
I don't know, maybe something like that. Then you can combine all three of you in your work. Who knows?
Exactly.
You never know what's going to come out there.
Exactly.
We did kind of like that the path may all, you know, tie in at some point because we really like to inspire people. So in some form, you know, maybe that will come through together as a two daughters and mom.
Yeah. Ladies, I think, Charlotte, I've talked to you about this, and I know I've had it out on Facebook. Natalie wouldn't know this, you know. I am looking to still start my Positive News magazine, and I, you know, we've got writers. We just don't have illustrators and artists, so we may be talking about that a little bit, too, outside of the radio show.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
Exciting.
You know, but what happened is I ended up taking over Purpose Talk Radio and ended up having a verbal magazine instead when I... about the time I thought I was going to have the written magazine. But, you know, you never know how people connect and why. So, yeah.
Or how your dream changes into different, you know, forms.
Exactly. and as we do that, too, again, we might take a step forward and we're going, oh, man, it didn't happen the way I wanted it to. Well,
exactly.
I think the best way to overcome that then is to say, well, it didn't happen the way I thought it would, but what does that mean? Does that mean I'm derailed? You know, like you're saying, the chapters of the book ending, or does it just mean it took on a different form that we hadn't even dreamed it would?
I think that's so true because after teaching, and I mentioned earlier, my friend Donna, we thought we were led to start a school, and the message came in real strong, and we wanted to help children that maybe. Families didn't want to homeschool, but they needed a little different type of instruction. And all the doors opened, and people who had been praying to help someone came forward. And we had a lot of really neat synchronistic moments. So we followed that path. And then the doors started closing after a year. We started school for a year, went through all the legal processes and things, and the doors started closing down. And I was a little bit frustrated because, you know, I had quit a job and put a lot on the line. And so I went into deep meditation. It was like, you know, almost angry, but why is this happening? You know, am I doing something wrong? You know, why, you know, what's going on? But what came to me is my daughter said, I really just want to homeschool. And I really didn't want to homeschool my children. I came from a long line of public school teachers. And I never say never because, you know, you often end up going there. But I got back in my meditation that I said, why did I have to start with school if I was just going to homeschool? And what came through was because you wouldn't have gotten here any other way. And after I thought about it for a little while, I kind of laughed and I thought, you know what, that's the truth. I really wouldn't have homeschooled. I would have started a school, which is pretty funny, I mean, that you would go to all that, but you wouldn't homeschool. So you really never know how your path is going to unfold. I will say that the homeschool was not only the right path for my daughter, but it was also a wonderful journey that my family got to take because we all work out of the home, and we were able to go back and forth from our lake home, and we had a lot of freedom. So it ended up being a wonderful journey, and you never know. I feel like that no path is a dead end, that it's really leading you, and it might be just a piece of the puzzle you needed, and you might not know why you had to go there, but down the road, you may figure that out. You know, oh, I needed that experience, because I've had a lot of different experiences from social work to teaching to homeschooling, starting school, and they all did, you know, give parts of myself that I needed to experience, so I do find it interesting, and I try never to say Oh, I'll never do that because I'm always proven wrong on that one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, Natalie, was there a point in your life where you thought this is not what I thought it would be? Well, Amy, you mentioned a little bit on the interior design, but I think that was a totally different direction. Was there something that you thought, man, it didn't go the way I thought it was going to, and ended up making you switch?
Yeah, well, when we started with jewelry, and I loved jewelry. I loved vintage jewelry, vintage buttons, and creating it. And very quickly discovered I did not have a knack for creating it. I could find the pieces to put together, but I just do not have as nimble of fingers, I guess. And it was a struggle, and I really wanted to work on that and not just give it up. But the more I would do it, the more I just found that I just didn't love it. I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I didn't want to just do things that I didn't love anymore. I wanted to really, you know, work. So I got into photography, and that started to feel more natural behind the camera and moving into videoing. And that I really started to feel at home and comfortable in my own skin and comfortable in my design aesthetic and my thoughts and what I wanted to try to capture and share with people. And the more I started following that voice, the more I found that I was connecting with other people on the same level, and that was really inspiring.
Okay, well, that's cool. So now, do you do the pictures for the Etsy shops? Because I think a lot of that is photography. You know, you have pictures of what you have there too, so that probably goes hand in hand with some of that, right?
Right, it does. I really just do a lot of the photography of where I travel, and my sister and I make videos now of our traveling trips and incorporating sort of like a video journal. So it's just interesting how it just moves and morphoses into other things. I'm getting tongue tied here. It just spills over into different areas, so you always come back to the roots of what you love, but you see how it takes on just different forms, and I love that about this journey.
Okay. Well, let's see. How does your, I mean, you talked a little bit too about how your life in general has affected your art. You know, through your experiences and through your emotions, are there other pieces? You know, Natalie, you also talked about your dog and, Charlotte, your kids and things. But is there really one piece or another of your life that really seems to affect your art and how it turns out?
Well, for me, I'm definitely inspired by my inner world as much as the outer world. And so I have a blog. I think we both use our blog as our sort of channel to communicate. And it really starts for me in the morning when I have my quiet time and still my mind and get centered in my heart. And a lot of times when I start a project, I think, okay, this is where I'm going to go. And then the journey begins and I go in a total different direction. If I'm in my head, then I'm probably washing off as much as I'm putting on. But it's when I can relax and just enjoy the process as a being present in the moment and just allowing it to be time with myself, then it kind of takes its own course. And but each, no matter which way, if I'm in my head or if I'm in my heart, I learn a lot through about myself and in that journey. So whatever I'm going through in my life usually comes forward in my art. Like, it's almost like it's teaching me a lesson. Sometimes I'm aware of what the lesson is, and I may get the title, and I may think, uh-oh, here I go, you know. Sometimes I'm not aware at all. I kind of am starting the lesson, and then it shows up in my life. So a lot of my art is sort of like a communication with my spirit and what I need to either expand in my life, or, you know, just an opportunity to get to know parts of myself. Or it can even be in my family, you know, maybe if I'm having a tough time communicating with someone, my art will show me where I'm stuck in my life. So I really think that my art teaches me a lot, you know, about myself and what I'm going through.
No, I agree. My life affects my art tremendously, and where I get my inspiration from. So whenever I'm obsessing over a film or a color, a quote, a thought, a style, you can really see it through the work that I do. My moods, when I'm happy or sad, my designs always reflect that very honest moment. So it could be if I'm feeling flirty or brave or I'm sad or a little scared, stuff will start to come out in my work. Or when somebody really inspires me. So when I was watching the Oscars and Lupita Nyong'o gave her speech, I was crying because, you know, she said at the end, dreams are valid. And instantly I went and made that into a canvas because I wanted to share how deeply that those words connected to my heart. And I then wanted to go and share it again with other people to see how they connected with that, because I think we get so inspired by other people and then turn around and be able to share that inspiration with others in different ways. So my life is how I do my work, but sometimes the creativity is not there. Sometimes it's just like void, and maybe I'm working through something hard, or maybe I'm just really, really happy and get stuck in the creative process. So when the creative spirit's there, it's like just like a blast of color. You just have to create, because you don't know when like it's going to slow down and let you absorb. So I call it like my absorbing sponge. I just, everything around me absorb until all of a sudden I'm so overfilled that I have to like put it out in all the work that I do. And then I have to turn around and go and fill myself back up. That's just something I've noticed. I don't consciously do that, but I've definitely seen that is how my process works.
That makes a lot of sense, too. You know, yes, the arts can show the emotion, but then there are times where it just, you know, if we don't know how to process our emotions in the being and just existing, it's kind of hard to put it into something else.
Exactly.
Right.
So, and that's, you know, we need to do that a lot and learn how to process emotions. And, you know, they say women do this so much better. I don't know. I've seen a lot of women get really stuck in holding things back because they don't want to offend someone. They don't want to cause a riff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So.
Yeah, I think to have that courage too to be able to walk through it, because I do think women are going through such a change and we have so many more opportunities. Being able to work out of the home and still be able to connect with our families. And we're, you know, learning how to do that. But like you said, sometimes we get stuck in our process of emotions. We hold a lot of emotions for probably the entire family, you know, because we're more emotional. And sometimes that gets us in a stuck state. And that's really what happened to me on my journey. I was a people pleaser, and I wanted everybody to, you know, be happy, and so a lot of my energy got scattered, and I decided to go within and deal with those emotions and find out how I felt about things. And really it didn't really come about until I could go in and be still, and in that stillness I could allow things to bubble up. So I agree with you.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. What's the best piece of advice you can give other people who are trying to work through this process? You kind of pretty much, you know, touched on it, but, you know, that's for you. Is there something that, you know, you would suggest to other people?
I think one of the things is if you can find out what it is that you just love and you're scared to do it, there are a lot of community resources that you can get connected with someone else, because I think a buddy system of any kind, someone to support you, is just very, very important. And for me, it's been with my best friend Donna and my children, but you know, getting out and having the courage, you find it through other people, I think, a lot of times. So I would find out what is it you would love to do, but you're terrified even at the thought of it, and then look for resources you can connect with people. What would you say, Nellie, from a younger perspective?
Well, I would just say, from the words of Henry David Thoreau, go confidently in the directions of your dreams and live the life you've imagined, because we each know deep down the parts of us that know what we're supposed to do, and we have to be able to tap into that and tap into just the confidence of ourselves and believe in ourselves to the point that we don't worry about what other people think, or we work through our even our own self-doubt to be able to go for that, you know, in whatever form that is, even if it's just for fun. Get out there, take pictures, see things in a different way than you thought was possible. Look at, even in your home life, just look at ordinary objects in a different way, and that can really help inspire you, because there's so many kids that are doing it with their camera phones and on YouTube that are just are showing ordinary life in different ways. And I just feel like there's so much creativity going around that we all can learn from and see and really inspire one another.
Okay. Cool. I think I'll jump in here again and let people know if you have some questions for Charlotte or Nellie. Please do give us a call at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Or if you're calling in on Skype, you can reach us that way as well. All you need to do is press 1 to know that to let me know that you do have a question for them, and I'd be happy to put you on the air. You also can post on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations in the thread that's pinned to the top of the page, or in the blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Talk Radio chat room. And, of course, the chat room, it's the Blog Talk Radio chat room, will close after the show. And the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group on Facebook will continue through the week. So please feel free to post anything in there. So, let's see. What kind of style do you consider your art at this point? And is that continuing to evolve?
Yes. Mine's always evolving. Mine is very about right now in the moment that I am, leaving my 20s shortly in a few years. But I'm very inspired by witty humor, minimalist design, quotable quotes, things that add color to life. So every day it changes. I'm into one thing, and the next day I'm into something else. And I just love that about my personality. I'm kind of like a little hummingbird in that sense, where I flit around to different things. So I'm always challenging myself every day to push my boundaries, push my comfort zone, get out there and connect with people in different ways.
And for me, I guess I'd say my style is more art. I call it art from the heart, and that's because my style is more from the heart, and more childlike in the sense that I just like to capture and connect with people on an energy level. So I think that I love animals. I connect deeply with animals, so a lot of my art incorporates animals, but it's all kind of in a more childlike essence to it, and I just kind of, sometimes I question myself, you know, is this all that I should be doing, and I have other ideas in my mind, but for me, when art comes, it's like I can't sit down and say, well, I'm going to paint this today necessarily. It's more spirit telling me, or a connection to my inner self that is moving the train. So I kind of just go with that and let it take me where it wants to go.
Okay. And we had talked about that both of you were doing the jewelry initially when you were working with the first Etsy store. And, you know, now there's this break off into different divisions and things like that. So what, can you tell us a little bit more about what you are really doing? I need, like now you were talking about the posters and things like that, wanting to do film. But what really is your art, the specifics of it? Do you use watercolors or the computer screens or that kind of thing in the photography, you know, black and white, digital, whatever. And the same Charlotte, you know, some of the things you do, you know, you talked about the angels, but what's the media that you use and, you know, how does that work?
Right. I use computer-based software, so I'll use Photoshop and Illustrator to create my designs. And then I also use acrylic paint on my canvases to do the hand-drawn typography and wanting to get into some chalk painting. So those are my two mediums of what I of where I am. And my designs are film posters or illustrations of, you know, I have things from Disney World to stuff from movies. I think movies would probably be like the number one area that my work is. And then I have travel because we went to Europe last year, and being in London and Paris and seeing the architecture and the sights and the sounds and the food and the people really attributed to when I came home and trying to put those colors and what I saw into some of my designs. So that's really what my art is. And inspirational quotes.
And for me, I love drawing, but my drawing led me to paint. And I paint with acrylic paint because I'm kind of a messy painter. And so I like the acrylics because you can clean up a little bit easier and they dry very quickly. I do paint on canvas. I started very small and then I got really big and quickly realized that the space, I think I was overgrowing my space, so I started more of smaller 9x12 type canvases that seem to be what I enjoy right now. But I also love photography. And as Natalie said, we just went to Europe. And so wherever we travel, I like to take photos. And I have a photo shot, too, that I use. So I did, but they all kind of incorporate with each other, too, because I have to take really good pictures of my canvases to be able to have print. And so I sell right now a lot of prints from the original paintings. So I have to get a very good digital image. So I use Photoshop to enhance it. And then I have to take a really good picture to get that image where it's, you know, clear. And then we like to travel to art shows because we get to connect with people. So we've started doing that just recently, and then we're going to try to start branching out into some different shops around. But acrylics are my main medium that I like to use. I would like to branch out to watercolor too, but haven't quite gotten brave enough. I do like to add a lot of mixed media to it sometimes. I like texture, so sometimes I use newspaper and add texture to the canvas, or I may use, this is kind of funny, but I like to use tile grout, you know, that you use for your tile, and I put that around the edges, and I put found objects, maybe marbles or different things, stones, and put around it to give it kind of a framing. I also like to reuse frames. I like to go around to the different vintage places and get old frames and repurpose them. One of the things that we have branched out with, too, is putting our prints on weathered wood. So there's a lot of process that goes through that, but we like chalk paint. And so we get wood and we, you know, weather it and put layers upon layers of different color paints and stains, and then put our prints on that. And so those have been one of the things. So we do sell matted prints, originals, and then prints on wood. We've also gotten into selling magnets that we make by hand and other things like that. So it's kind of growing. Our process is leading us down one step at a time, different places. We're enjoying it.
cool. So where can people find your shop or your shops, or how can they connect with you?
You can find my work at thebellaprintshop.com. We'll send you off to all the places that you can buy my or purchase my work. You can also find me on Etsy at thebellaprintshop.etsy.com. And I'm starting Fine Art America, and then I've just been in some local stores here, and a friend of mine that owns a really great furniture revival store in Monroe, Louisiana, has just taken some of my work, some of my prints on hand-distressed chalk-painted wood and greeting cards down there. So that's exciting.
And for me, one of the ways to find all of my shops are just to go to my blog, which is theartwithaheart.blogspot.com, and you can see all my different shops. My original shop, my acrylic painting shop, is theartwithaheart.etsy.com, and then my photography shop is theeyeoftheheart.etsy.com. And I also have Fine Art America. As you can see, all of mine have the heart in it, so that's my connection.
Great. And I'm putting those in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. I haven't been able to post too much else there, folks, so please, if you've got something that really resonated with you, please be sure to put that in there. I've just gotten wrapped up in the conversation, which is kind of fun when I just don't have time to do that. I like that. So, well, I think I've pretty much covered the things that I wanted to with you all today. So is there anything that you think we've missed that you would like to share?
I mean, I just feel honored to be able to get here and share how people have inspired me. So hopefully we can inspire others, because I like this energy of being able to give back what people have given, people that don't even know what they've been able to give. For me to be able to do this dream, and probably will never know, but I want to be able to pay it forward. So I have friends that are not really friends, but acquaintances that I went to high school with that I have to give a mad shout out, that are in a band called Moon Taxi, that are traveling around the country and have been on Late Night with Conan and on the David Letterman show. And they're such great guys going for their dream. And that in turn just, it's like fuel for my fire. It just really inspires me to go. So I want to be able to help inspire or just encourage other people to go for their dreams, because you won't regret it. You know, you'll be so rewarded, even if you just do it for yourself, even if it's just private and you just do that creative thing just for your own outlet. That's what I say to really go for, because that's where you can find a lot of happiness, peace, your spiritual growth. A lot about yourself can be learned from finding your own creative voice.
And I think that's perfectly said. And we would love to hear from, you know, anybody that has anything they would like to share with us, because I think we all feed each other through our enthusiasm. And like she said, just doing what you want to do. I mean, I never thought I would have the courage to put myself out there or even try. And it can start with a journal. A lot of people do art journals, and that's just their private space that they can scribble and do anything they want to doodle. Because sometimes just doing that with no intention to put yourself out there, I mean, it could be scrapbooking or taking pictures of your children at their events, but it's something that really inspires you. And if you start there and you do it just for yourself, you may have a conversation with someone somewhere, and you either inspire them to do it, or they may inspire you to go to the next level. So I think that we're just very honored that you gave us the opportunity to share our journey, and we would love to connect with anybody that would like to talk to us about anything that they would like to do. We love talking to people about their passions.
Well, thank you there. You know, I'm not a artist per se. Yes, I write music. I, you know, do some of that, and I do graphics and photography and things like that. You know, but I don't label myself an artist as far as the traditional medium is concerned. You know, like I said on last week's show too, we're all an artist if we find our media. But several years ago, I did an art journaling class that was kind of a mixed media. We were told to use anything we had around that we wanted to, you know, pipe cleaners, foam, paint, crayons, pencils, whatever. And what we did with the art journaling was layer things. And instead of, like, peeling away the onion, we were adding layers to it as we were doing some of the healing work and answering questions. And, you know, it was just neat to see how those pictures transform themselves. You know, part would stay the same, part would layer, you know, like the old, as we were kids, like the decoupage stuff, you know, to make 3D effects. You know, and you're reminding me as you're talking about the mixed media and working with your emotions, how healing that was, you know, even though it wasn't something I would have ever dreamed of doing.
Exactly, because that's, to me, that's kind of how I started, is that it was a healing journey. It was a spiritual healing journey, and I think that I've read a lot of books about the art, the healing process. There's some great books out there that start with the healing process, and so it could just be to connect with yourself more. Maybe you're shifting things in your life, and you need to connect with yourself a little more, or like you said, you feel blocked with your emotions. That may be your journey, is to have that, like you said, the art journal and being able to just find objects and look at things from a different perspective, because that's really what mine was. I had absolutely no intention of being able to put my art out there. In fact, my children encouraged me to do it, and through Facebook, connecting with people from different places. I met some wonderful ladies from that we kind of formed a little group on Facebook called Sisterhood, and we were from different parts of the country, and we actually got together. Met in Florida, and they're all very creative and artists, each one of them, all different areas, you know, a lot of different areas. And we met, and we had a great time, and we never met each other, but we had been friends for about a year on Facebook, and that was just really out of spontaneous, out of just connecting with ourselves, and we were connected with each other. So I think that it starts with you, and then you just never know where you're going to end up.
Mm-hmm. And I think all of us need those outlets. You know, whether we consider ourselves creative in the forefront or whether we consider ourselves more logical, I think we need those things to expose what's going on within ourselves.
I agree. I would agree with 100%. Mm-hmm. Because I've met a lot of people that their careers are, you know, analytical, or they're in accounting and they have something on the side. And then my husband is in the banking business, but he started with music business and he was a drummer. And he was led to go into a more analytical job, you know, more that using the left brain. But he also is... Since we've been married for 31 years, he's been in a band and recorded and does plays for weddings and different kind of things. So he kept that other side open. And I've met a lot of people recently that are finding an outlet for their creative spirit, even if it's not what they want to do in their life as their main job.
Some people say, you know, start writing with your left hand and see what your brain puts out, or just doodling. And, you know, I think that's what a lot of kids, you know, when we're sitting in school when we were kids, it was like we might have been bored, but we were bored because we didn't know how to express what was going on, what we were thinking about at the time, and just started, you know, making triangles and squares and lines and, you know, and it was amazing how, not just ADD kids either. You know, they say all the ADD kids are drawing and doing all that. But I think there's a lot of times that it was just anybody, because it was, what's going on? I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just stuck. Something doesn't feel right. So just starting to do that
mm-hmm.
might help.
I think so, exactly, because one of the things, I always wanted to be a writer, but was terrified of writing. My father was a college English professor, and in college he one time graded my letter, you know, and had red marks, and I was terrified to do any writing. But a friend of mine, several of my friends were writers, and one the friend I mentioned earlier, Donna, she was writing poetry, and I was like, oh, I wish I could do that. And she said, oh, you can, you know, just find your still place, and then, like you said, either use your left hand so that you're sort of out of your mind, out of your comfort zone, you're out of that part of your brain. Just write whatever comes. Just get a notebook and just write. Don't second guess it. Don't worry about anything because no one's going to see this. And I didn't even notice it, but it ended up, it was, she said, well, that's a song because it has a repeating verse in it. And my husband, for a gift at Christmas, he and his friend put it to music and made a CD for me. And that was a thrill because that was the first thing I ever had tried to write. And he, you know, celebrated it for me. So sometimes, you know, just taking that plunge, like you said, writing with your left hand, or if you're right hand, if you're right-handed, and if you're left-handed, writing with your right hand, gets you out of that space where you're second-guessing yourself and you're just allowing it to move through you. And I think the same thing with, like you said, with doodling. I never really thought that I did growing up, but my friend recently told me, oh my goodness, she said, Charlotte, you were always drawing and doodling. And I remember, you know, drawing hearts and all these things. But she said, no, you drew faces. And, you know, I really didn't even remember that because a lot of it was, like you said, my attention span going off or, you know, just bored or something. So it's, you never know how your path, you know, comes back around for you.
So how do you use the other side of your brain now? Because, again, we need to be balanced, you know, in both sides of our brain as well as body, mind, spirit. So is there anything, any practices that you do to balance the rest of your life out?
Well, definitely one of the things that's been helping me, because I have been more feminine, using my feminine right brain, you know, more connected to the spirit and that kind of thing. So my worldly side was not as developed. My husband is very, uses his left brain a lot and very strong in the area, so I tend to shy away from some of those things. But our journey, I guess, to balance it out more, because there are so many people that are artists that do it as a hobby because, and that's a real good point you brought up, because they don't have enough of the left brain or they don't develop that side. Because one of the most important parts of being able to make money, if you want to make money through your art, you do have to have your left brain working, or else you have to have enough money to pay somebody, and it's kind of hard to do that in the beginning unless you just happen to have a lot of money. So I've had to start developing my left brain, coming out of that comfort zone and learning the business side. I've still just beginning in that area, so I still have so much to learn. But my daughter, actually, she has more of those attributes. She's very organized, and I'll let her share because she had to develop that from I wouldn't call it a handicap, but that was one of her, it was a weakness that she had that she overcame, so I'll let her explain that part.
Yeah, my weakness was that I was a little scatterbrained and really had to work hard. My mom and dad helped me, and now that's become my strong suit, to be organized, and taking some business classes in college on how to run your own business helped. But my dad is really good at that, and so just watching him, I've learned how to get, I don't know, I guess it just sort of is something that just I learned through osmosis from watching him, but incorporating my organization and learning how to form a business plan and knowing how to get the logo and structure of things that need to happen before you can get out there and get it going has definitely helped. So I think that's how I incorporate both sides. Mom and I are a good team because where I'm strong, she might not be, but then where she's really strong, I'm not. So we feed off of each other, and it helps us improve. So we learn a lot from each other.
Yeah, I wish I could say that with my mom and I sometimes, you know. But I'm sure you do have your not quite as comfortable moments either, because it's still mother and daughter, and who's in charge?
Of course, there's some not so glamorous moments, but at the end of the day, we always work through them. So if they get anything, it ever gets cleared up very quickly. So that's why it's easier to work with her. Sometimes siblings, now that's a different story. So my sister and I, we butt heads pretty strongly. We're very strong in our opinions, but I think working with family is a blessing, because at the end of the day, you're not going to hurt their feelings so bad that they're never going to talk to you again. But you can also have an opportunity to learn and grow and work through an issue that can help you in other areas of your life and with other people. So to me, it is the greatest blessing to be able to work with my family. I probably wouldn't have gotten some of my lessons as quickly if I hadn't had them to work on them with.
Because one of the things that part of our journey has been the healing process. I had some patterns in my life that I didn't want to pass down to another generation. So really the biggest part of my process has come from a healing position. It's been about 15 years going in and figuring out some things that I didn't want to continue that had been passed down for a couple of generations. And so I would say what helped us be able to work together is I am very open, and I shared my path with my daughters, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, the up, the down, the, you know, cleaning out the closet and that kind of thing. And what, for us, what happened is that we allow each other to disagree, but not, and to get angry, but not to do it on each other. So like if we do get a disagreement, then we just take time to, we immediately say, okay, I need to separate. And we may have to go scream in the other room. I mean, we have our moments, but when we move through that emotion, we're able to hear the other person where we might have been blocked earlier and just seeing things from our own perspective. And we'll try and we'll come back and we'll talk again. And we may have to do it two or three times before we can actually hear the other person, because we're very strong-willed in our family. So it's a process that we've been learning how to do, and I've given my daughters the ability to tell me when I'm wrong. I have to, in our family, we have to walk the talk. So in order to do that, I have to be able to hear what they have to say, you know, when I'm not in the flowing or when I'm, you know, out of line. And so that is why we've been able to work together. It's been an ongoing and is an ongoing process. But to be able to hear, you know, and give everybody a voice and be able to do that is one of the reasons. So it's not been without, you know, issues, that's for sure. We just have some tools that we can use to work through those.
Nice. That's cool. That's cool. You know, and those are in all worlds, too. We need to exactly rely on what we've learned. Again, go back and rely to on those things that we've had, and the people we've had, inspirations and role models in our life, and what worked for them, you know, may work for us. It may not work for us. But it's always a good place to start.
Exactly. I learn from my children as much as, you know, anything, because they come from different perspectives, and I may not even be aware sometimes that some things I'm doing really aren't working for me anymore until they bring it to my consciousness. So by having that open dialogue, we're able to move forward and you know, let go of patterns that aren't working anymore and embracing new ones and trying them on. And, you know, all I can do is share my path and then my children can share their path. But we're all, you know, choosing and learning from our own decisions. So, but it has been a wonderful healing journey for our family, and we're very thankful for it.
Okay.
Even though some days we may not be. Some days we may be in our bedroom, you know, letting the tears flow, or we may be screaming at a pillow. But, you know, ultimately, even after that happens, we realize we come back to, you know, to a space where we can, you know, talk again. So It's not for the faint of heart sometimes, I would say. If you can't, you know, see your reflection in the mirror, then you may not want to work with your mom or your sister or your brother or your husband. But in our family, since we all are in the home, my husband works in the home, my daughter went to home school, Natalie would come over and we would work together. We really didn't have a choice if we were going to live, you know, without killing each other. So we learned very quickly to set up some boundaries in the house so that we had a place to go to when we were on each other's nerves. But sometimes those walls aren't even far enough, so we have to let those emotions move through those emotions so we can free ourselves again. So it's a journey, as everybody's journey is.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, that just took a different turn, and, you know, I just let spirit guide these conversations, because I never know where they're ever going to go either, so. Well, I am, like I said before, pretty much out of questions. I'll say one more, you know, shout out if you've got anything you want to add, and then I'd like to do, I think, an affirmation for the day. So was there any other information you wanted to add, or was there something you wanted to add to that, Natalie?
No, I'm good. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and would love for people to check out my website. You can learn more and have films that Mary Catherine, my sister, and I work on there as well, so people can see that, and they can read the blog and read my story some more.
And give us that website one more time.
It's www.thebellaprintshop.com.
Very good. And Charlotte?
And mine is theartwithaheart.blogspot.com. That's my blog, and it has all my different sites on there to find, so they're real easy to be able to connect to other places. And I love to hear from people. And if anybody it would be interested, they can find out some information about the contest, or if they just want to email me if they have any interest. I usually work from photographs from people. They can give me, you know, four or five different pictures, different angles of their children if they're interested in letting their child be a, they get a free 8x10 print, and then I retain the rights to it. But if they're interested in, you know, entering that little contest for kids photo contest, that's something that they can find out about, or they can message me through Earth Angels with the S716@live.com, and they can just send me a message if they're interested in it, and I will return it to them. So we're very thankful, and we appreciate you so much, Cindy, for this wonderful opportunity to connect with people. I think what you're doing is a huge amount. I get chills because I think it's such a connection for people to be able to find their purpose, and I think you're helping so many people, you know, connect with others and to, you know, maybe see things that they never thought they could do. For me, I originally went to social work just because I had no clue of what to do. I didn't think I had any talents, and the college representative said, well, what are you good at? And I said, well, people open up to me and share, and he said, well, that's social work. And I was like, okay. So that's sort of how I was led to do that, and I really only did it for a year, less than a year, about 9 months, because I wanted to take everybody home with me instead of, you know, I didn't have the tough love that was needed. But then I went into teaching because I wanted to, you know, be with children and have a creative type job, but I also wanted to be with Natalie, because that time I went back to school, she was 18 months old, and I wanted something that I could work and then be off in the summers. I had no idea about how you could work out of your home. So, you know, for me, I enjoy connecting to people. That's why I like your show, is because it allows people to see there are different options that they can do. They don't have to follow something that they're encouraged by others. They can find what they want to do. So I think your show allows the opportunity for people to find that out within themselves. So I thank you for that.
Thank you, and that is one of my goals, exactly. You know, how are we alike and how are we different? There's some of that in every one of the guests. And, you know, I hope that each person that does listen to the show should take one little nugget. They don't have to take a whole hour or 2 hours worth to get something out of the show. Just find that one little nugget that might help them get through that day when they're saying, I am not worth anything, I'm not doing anything, and turn it on. And even sometimes, you know, the crummiest days, as long as they can find something to turn it around, something to look at on the positive side, you know, it's going to make a difference. It can be, you know, it can be raining outside, but you know what? We needed some water. We haven't, you know, outside of the snow, those plants needed some water this weekend. I'm looking at the rivers that are rising up. I'm going, well, that might get a little tough. But, again, okay, so the boats won't be going awry later in the year. Or whatever, you know, as we look at our purpose and say, from the beginning, you know, both of you had experiences of things that just weren't what you thought it was going to be. The interior design that just, you know, the job ends. What do you do next? You turn it around and you find something else. You know, homeschooling's done. Your kids have grown up. Got to find something else because there is no, I'm going to have more homeschooling because there's no more kids. I suppose you could adopt and do that kind of thing. Essentially, that piece ends.
Exactly.
What do you do with it? You know,
like you said, you know, even on a rainy day, you know, figuratively and metaphorically speaking, but Natalie's, her whole thing started because she was like, well, Mom, I want to do something. She was working at Restoration Hardware, and she wasn't doing what she went to school for, and she said, I want to do something creative. And I said, well, let's go take some pictures. And she went outside, and it was raining, and she's, oh, it's raining, never mind. And, you know, those things a lot of times will stop you just dead. You won't even try again. And I said, grab that camera. A rainy day is the perfect day to go to the park. And she came back with beautiful photos of flowers with little raindrops on them and little raindrops. I mean, it was breathtaking. And that could have stopped right there, and she might not have found the courage again, you know, had you not just said, let's go anyway. So I think that's what you're saying, is that your show, maybe one spark, who knows what it is, maybe that dewdrop, that one thing that gets someone through that day of cloudy skies in their life. And I think that's what we can do for each other, is inspire, and I just get a heart connection from you giving people the opportunity to have a voice.
Right. And I'm grateful for everybody that comes on here. I've had artists. I've had very logical people. I've had, you know, granted, the majority are the artists because they've got the time during the day. You know, and I love opening Mondays with, you know, talking to different people. But, you know, like I said, everybody has their purpose. And it can, if it's to cut the lawn, it's to cut the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
If it's to, you know, figure out the budget of the biggest company in the world, you know, whether it be Apple or Windows or, you know, those kinds of things that we know are going to keep going. Okay, that's your purpose. And it doesn't matter. We need everything in between. Just as long as you find what you are meant to do in this world and things that bring you joy and happiness.
That's
where
perfect.
We need to go.
I think that's perfect. Yeah.
I think both of you gave me some quotes, and I didn't do anything with them. And I just want to use them a little bit here real quick as we kind of wrap this up. You know, Natalie said, you know, your quotes with him, gave it to Roe, and, God, he's got so much stuff to do. You know, but go confidently in the direction of your dreams, live the life you imagine. Him, you know, sometimes live the life you didn't imagine. You know,
right.
And then, you know, you look at scripture with Matthew 7:7, and ask and it shall be given to you, and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. And I love that one as well.
I love that. That one gets me through many days. And I would also say for me, what gets me through some really tough moments, when nothing seems to work, is to just, in the stillness, all distractions can be silenced and answers can be heard. So for me, when I have some of the darkest times, or when I feel stuck, you know, in my life, or, you know, I feel like nothing's working, I can just go and be still, or I can go and lay down outside in nature, or take a walk, or put on music, or those are all things that help me get back to my center and find that creative spirit, or really to get out of the way so that I can hear another avenue or another way of doing things. Because one of the things that came to my family is that we used to say, oh, you know, we may argue about where to eat or whatever, and we finally learned from a friend who said, well, go across, you know, when two people want to eat at a different place, you know, can't you just walk across the street and go to the other place, or can't you go to two? You know, so sometimes there are options that we don't even know until we steal ourselves and find that quiet spot. So that's, for me, some of the greatest moments of how I connect again.
I love my Skype. I got totally cut off again. I was trying to dial the phone and get back in. You know, I hear pretty much what you said, and you know what we need to remember too is as we approach that door, like you said, okay, so mm-hmm. we stop and we wait in the silence. But if we want to get through that door, it's like, oh my God, the door is locked. What am I going to do?
Right.
Sometimes we forget the simplest is to just knock. Maybe somebody's going to open it for us or with us.
Yeah.
You know. So I think the affirmation we'd like to use today, Charlotte, came from you. And I like that. It says, I trust that I am receiving all that I need in every moment, and I let go of the attachment to the outcome. Ooh, there's that door again. You know, I let go of it and just trust. Again, it's I trust that I am receiving all that I need in every moment and let go of the attachment to the outcome. So I think with that, I am pretty much wrapping up this show with you folks. And I thank you again for being part of it and sharing your heart and your dreams with the listeners of Purpose Talk Radio. I invite you, you know, to come over to the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page and chat some more, put in some things that I might have missed that you wanted to share with people, or just set up a discussion or a dialogue in that thread about the show today, whatever you might like.
We could definitely do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put you back on hold. You can listen to the end of the show as we wrap this up. And we'll see where the end goes now. So thank you again for being on the air.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, you were listening to Charlotte Phillips and her daughter, Natalie Phillips, both artists in their own way. You started out together with jewelry and went off with an Etsy shop and a you know, things that they thought they were both going to be part of for a while and discovered that even though those things were initially something together that, you know, the journey was not meant to be exactly the same for both of them. And now they have their own pieces that are part of that, both doing a little different on photography and Natalie doing prints related to travel quotes, movie quotes, literature quotes, those kinds of things to create posters and, which she didn't talk about a little bit, was invitations. And then, you know, her dad is in a band that works with weddings. Gee, how convenient is that to nicely connect those pieces together as well. Charlotte, her mom works with, you know, photography and painting as a medium with some mixed media involved in that and creating different projects. And then, you know, all each family member was talking about doing some things with film and the photography. And someday, you know, creating either a combined family project with their sister who's in film school right now or, you know, something that just combines all those pieces. And it just shows how all of us can have similar interests but need to find our own path and our own part of it that is unique, that makes us different, that separates us from the rest of the world. And we all do have a purpose. That's the mission of this radio show. What is your purpose? How do you get there? We don't always know. It might start one way and end up being something totally different, totally unexpected. We may think that the goal is, you know, off Oak Street and, gee, in order to get to the mall over there, we forget that maybe we have to go Maple Street to Genoa or something in order to get to the mall. And that being all metaphorically and how we look at things. But we know that somewhere in this world, there's something that we each individually should be doing. You know, I hope a piece of what you've heard today helps you get and to finding that journey for yourself. We are on the air every Monday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. in the U.K. This is Purpose Talk Radio. My name is Cindy Freeman as your host. You can find us at purposetalkradio.com. If you wish to listen to the show again, the link that you came in on to hear it the first time is the same one where we archive the show. There are archives at blogtalkradio.com/purposetalkradio. And they have all of our shows for about the last 2 years. We are putting together the last 3 years of shows all together onto our website at purposetalkradio.com. Also on that Purpose Talk Radio website, we have information about our former and future guests. We have the archives. We also have an opportunity for you to sponsor a show. If you have a gift for sharing what you have with the world, if you have a product or service that you would like to specifically get to this audience, please do consider sponsoring the show. You know, we are a unique audience. There's a lot of blog talk shows out there, and you know, there are some with mediums and psychics. There are some that have great celebrities that everybody recognizes. You know what? I'd like to have the everyday person on here. They say it can be the person who cuts the lawn, flips the burger at a fast food restaurant. It can be the CEO of some multi-million dollar company or billion dollar company. It doesn't matter. I want you to have the opportunity to hear from people that are just being and knowing that they have something to give the world, because all of us do. Every person listening on the show right now has something to give the world and to share with somebody else that might be able to learn from you. So if you'd like to be a guest on the show or know someone else who would be a wonderful guest, you can email me at Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com, and I'd love to share with you all it takes. It's just a conversation. I have nothing formal. I let spirit, universe, God, source, whatever you wish to call it, the angels, guide me in the show and guide my guests as to what they want to share. We have some formal stuff, but it's really up to you and how that all comes out. So as we head out for this week, until next week, like I said, I don't know if Jillian will be the guest next week. If so, that would be great if she shares about Chicks for a Cause. After that, we have Patricia Clayson from Taking It Lightly. And we have shows pretty much filled through July, into July right now. And that is so awesome that we've got these wonderful people coming and wanting to share with you. So until next Monday, I wish you all soul blessings, and close with the song, I Am Who I Am, by True Trinity, and they are located at truetrinity.com. Again, soul blessings to you all. Thank you for listening and being a part of the Purpose Talk Radio audience.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be, walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be, walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.